Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Okay, right now it is the Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. Right now I'm talking with a band. Okay, you're going to have to help me with this. Isthme.
Perfect. Yeah, spot on.
Really?
Just think of Isthme Mario. And you're spot on.
Isthme. Isthme. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
All right, cool. By the time you hear this, the album is out now. It is out. It's called Leaving This World, Leaving It All Behind. It's out now on Satanic Royalty Records. You can pre-order the LP. It's via streaming. And it's out, man. So how are you guys feeling about it?
Well, I'd say we're feeling like pretty happy about it. I think all the songs, there are songs we've been holding on to for a little while, so it's kind of nice to finally put them out there and everything. But we're very happy with the compositions and the recordings and everything. So yeah, could be more stoked about it, I'd say.
Right on. Well, let's before we jump into too much, why don't we go around the room? Tell me what your name is and what you do in Isthme.
You start.
Oh, I'm Autumn. I do guitar.
Mm-hmm. I'm Gabe. I play bass.
I'm Brett. I also play guitar.
I'm Nolan, and I play drums.
And I'm Jacob, and I sing.
Okay, so whoever wants to, start with this, I generally like to get the idea of, like, what's kind of like the origin story? Were you guys friends, longtime friends before you, started playing together? How'd you guys all meet up to start this band? And when?
Well, I guess it's probably more so Nolan and Autumn stories than anyone's else, because they kind of started it.
Cool.
I guess that's us. Okay. So we had a mutual friend named Merrick way back in the day, who we originally started the band with. And way back when we decided we wanted to do some sort of atmospheric black metal sort of thing, and it really morphed into something else that we couldn't really describe. And it was really just Autumn and I for a while, because Merrick ended up leaving the band.
Mm-hmm.
And we wrote a good portion of our first album, just the two of us, until we brought in more voices who then filled the whole album out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. And so when you say like back in the day, how back in the day, what do you mean that by that?
Oh, this was 2016.
Yeah. 2016.
When it started.
Hmm? November, okay. I believe, 2016.
Yeah. Sometime in the fall and in the autumn.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So, and then it leads up to you release, your first album on Within the Mind Recordings, right? With that's Rat King's label.
Yep. Right.
Right. And now you're releasing this album, or you've released this album with Satanic Royalty. Tell me a little bit about what brought you guys together with Satanic Royalty and Freiberger.
Well, it's kind of interesting because we had another label offer at the time. We just decided we wanted to go with something more small and local at the time. And Fry's been like really good to like help us out and get us like hooked up with a lot of good people. Like he's pressing vinyl for us, got us hooked up with Billy Anderson for the recording. So he's done a lot of great stuff for us. He's doing a lot of good stuff for the scene and everything. So, really started with like a Zoom interview similar to this one. He just kind of gave us a spiel and it sounded like something that we wanted to get into, and the rest is history after that.
He kind of reached out to us like out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was, yeah, we didn't exactly know like who he was at the time. And he reached out and said, "Hey, I stumbled across you guys on Spotify and you guys are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do something together."
Yeah, that sounds like Freiburger. But he'd have a blunt in his mouth. Yeah. So I know you guys were a Northwest band, but where exactly in the Northwest are you guys located?
We're all kind of scattered about. Like, we used to be a lot more scattered. At one point, Jacob was in Camino Island. We're in Stanwood right now, which is where we rehearse, and that's where Autumn lives. I'm like North Seattle. Nolan's in Kenmore, and like now Gabe's in Kenmore. He used to be in Renton, so we used to be like very spread out. But now we're kind of all in the same area, except for Autumn. But we still come up here to rehearse because it's a great rehearsal spot.
Pretty much out in the woods. It's nice to make noise.
Yeah. No noise complaints out here.
Yeah. So your first album is released, and I think that's like right around when the pandemic starts. Like, right? You guys released that like pretty much right around when the pandemic started. Is that right?
Yeah. No, it was crazy timing. Like, we could have never like foreseen like what was like going to happen after that. Like, which in some ways is kind of nice because it like came out right before the pandemic. So we're able to kind of like do the album release shows, like put it out there, do a little bit of like shows to promote it and everything. Like, it would have been a shame if it happened like right when we dropped it. So very, very bizarre timing. And we just had, you know, no idea what was coming.
How weird is it to think that you've released, you know, two albums now and it's pretty much just all been within this pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's been that long. It feels like it's probably been like, I don't know, like a year since we released the last one, but it's been like way shorter than that. It's like time is kind of like expanded but contracted at the same time. It feels like lots of time has passed, but no time has passed at the same
time. For sure.
Yeah. So in a lot of ways, are still very much, you know, same group of people in the same band.
Yeah. And everything. Okay. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
I think we've had time to like focus on like maturing our sound. Like, it was kind of nice, instead of like deciding maybe go on a tour that summer, like we didn't have the opportunity to do that, and so we had a lot more time to just like focus on the writing aspect of everything.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about that. I was gonna ask if like time away from playing live really kind of helped you, you know, helped your songwriting with this new album, but you kind of just answered it.
Certainly it did. It also kind of like I mean, after a certain point, after you've just been like rehearsing these songs, like in the basement and everything, like after a while, it gets like a little bit like mundane. So there's definitely a period where we're just kind of like got a little bit burnt out on the songwriting thing. So needed some time to kind of like, you know, recoup and kind of like take a little bit of a break and then come back to it. But yeah, it was definitely very helpful to have that like focus time for that.
Cool. Well, so when did you start writing these songs?
I mean, all at very different points of time. One of the songs I wrote when I was like 21, and like I've had like the audio recording of it for a while. So I kind of brought that one to the band. And then
which one was that?
That was It's As If It Were. Yeah, that was one I've like had for like a really, really long time. So and then the other ones you all just kind of wrote collaboratively
during the pandemic, immediately after the last album.
So one of the songs I had in the works since the first album.
What
was the name of that one?
we still know our songs as the code names, not the actual song.
No, I'm well aware of bands that do that. Yeah,
that song, you know, like we still think of them as that rather than the actual album titles.
For sure. So this album, you get it written and you're working on it and whatnot, and then you get to go record it with Billy Anderson. Is that right? From Billy Anderson from Sleep. He has a studio in Portland. How was that? It must have been really cool.
It was cool.
That was an amazing experience.
It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And he was really easy to work with.
Billy Anderson was wonderful to work with. He created a very chill atmosphere for us. He was very positive the whole time. He was funny. He was like making us laugh constantly.
Mm-hmm.
What a great guy.
Yeah. No, it was very much like we could just kind of like perform the songs, and he just kind of would like let us do our thing. He was kind of like hands off in a lot of ways. So he very much let us kind of like take the quality control and everything. So yeah, it was great. It made us like yeah, just very relaxed going into the recording process.
You really knew how to like push our own creativity too, which really helped the album in a way that I don't think we could have done on our own.
So, you know, some bands, they go into a studio to record their album and everything's 100% written, tight, ready to go, you know, not even, you know, any room to budge on it. And then some people go in with, you know, most of it written and then a little bit of room to kind of write here and there. How did you guys approach it? And were you guys like 100% locked in, finished, or?
I'd say like the actual songs and compositions themselves, like all of them were like fully written, but there are a few, like, I guess not a few, I guess there is like one interlude we wrote like on the spot in the studio, which you'll get to hear when it comes out. But we were just kind of playing some chords on the piano. Cool. And we got like a whole like recording of the room set up. So we had two mics on two pianos and we just kind of like, you know, jammed it out and everything. And it turned out to be a really like, nice addition to the album that we didn't really anticipate before going in.
Yeah, the best part about that was a jam on the spot, like during a break for us in between recording. And Billy comes out of the other room while he's eating. He's like, we're recording that.
That's cool. Nice, man. Well, he had a good ear for it. You know, he was like, hey, what was that sound? Let's do it. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Right on. Well, what stands out to you all about this album as opposed to your first album?
Well, I guess maybe just like the songs and the compositions themselves. Cause we felt like this was kind of like a step up in terms of like the intensity and like the dynamics compared to the first one. Like the first one had a lot of dynamics, but this one was like a lot more intensity. There was like longer compositions and, I guess just like, I don't know, just more dynamics in general. I don't know like what other way to put it other than that.
One thing that was definitely different about this one that I really enjoyed, the first one was very much more individually written between the songs, and this album felt more collaborative between all of us. Mm-hmm. And I think that really benefited all the songs.
I was also present during the writing of this album.
Yeah, there you go. That's different.
The last one.
Yeah. I joined before the first album was released, but after it was recorded.
Oh, okay.
So I wasn't a part of the writing. I don't play bass on that album. But this album, I was actually, because I joined before we really started on this album, I was actually a part of it. And that's been so much fun.
Well, that would definitely stand out to you as a difference, I'd say. awesome. Well, so if you don't mind, why don't you let me know what's the origin of the band name?
Oh, so it's like we changed the spelling of it a little bit, but an isthmus spelled isthmus is like a land bridge, you know. It's an in between point, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was like kind of is just like symbolic of like the specific and the vagueness of that, you know?
Okay.
What we also liked about it was it is talking about the connection itself, but it's also a connection between two larger parts, which we felt was a good explanation of the band, because we do some darker parts, but also go into a more melodic side of things. And yeah, it felt right.
Awesome. Right on. Well, I was curious about that, but now I know the origin. We're going to go into a song actually from the new album, and the new album is called Leaving This World, Leaving It All Behind. You can stream it now. You can pre-order the LP. A little bit of a lag on LPs due to, you know, the supply chain and whatnot, but you can order it and you'll get it maybe in a few months. But so we're going to go into a song called a Shout That Bursts Through the Silence of Unmeaning. This is off the new album. Is that right?
That's actually off the first album.
Oh, it's off the first album. My bad.
Yeah, no worries.
So what made you want to choose this one for the feature?
We felt like it was kind of, we really liked the way that song turned out specifically on the first album. And it kind of gives like an inkling to like where we are going on this album. There's like some similar like dynamic elements in that one with like the clean guitars and like switching back and forth between those. And just kind of like the way like the chord progressions are, it's like kind of a somewhat similar arrangement to like how some of the songs turn up on the next album too. So it kind of has like
the best of everything. So,
yeah. All right. Well, here's from their first LP. This is A Shout That Bursts Through the Silence of Unmeaning. It's Izmi here on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That was a shout that burst through the silence of unmeaning from the first Is Me album. You can stream that. I believe copies are available. Are they physical copies available?
Yeah, vinyl and I guess just vinyl for now. We don't have any CDs or tapes left.
Right on. Sold out. Cool, man. Will you guys have any shows coming up?
Yeah, we have Northwest Terror Fest coming on June 30th.
Epic. That's going to be freaking awesome. You guys, do you know what day you're playing? You said June 30th?
We're doing Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday, June 30th. Yeah, very first one.
That'll be a quality gig, man. That's a good one to look forward to.
Yeah, no kidding.
Do you know who you share the day with?
Ms. Moore, yeah. Windhand,
Ludacra,
Tacornabog. Are they playing on that day?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not familiar with the last band, but the first few that you mentioned, I think would really complement your guys' style, I would definitely say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we're pretty stoked with the lineup we're playing with on that day. That was the day we were most stoked to be on for sure.
Awesome. Well, I'm curious. Why don't we go around the room and I wanted to ask, like, what was the band or what was the artist that you know kind of influenced you to pick up an instrument and make you want to play music? Your first favorite band or musician? Autumn, let's start with you.
First favorite. Oh, tough one.
Even if it's embarrassing. Mine was No Doubt.
Nah. I think mine's just a pretty normal, like, mine would be Tool.
Yeah.
That's a good starter.
Yeah, that was a band that really got me, especially into the progger side of things and the long songs and just drone out guitar sections.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
The band that really made me want to become a musician was Emerson, Lake & Palmer.
Really? Okay.
And that was before I even started playing bass. I played piano and keyboards for a solid almost like 10 years.
Awesome.
I'd say for me, probably Metallica. Yeah. When I first started playing guitar, which is like, freshman year of high school, I just learned like every Metallica song and like that kind of helped build up the chops and everything. And then, you know, the rest is history.
I just saw Metallica in Las Vegas on Friday. It was
awesome. I saw your singing down there. How was that?
It was badass. It was really cool. It was a good experience. Getting back, flying out at 6 a.m. back to Seattle wasn't such a good experience, but hey, that's what a cheap flight is. Anyways, keep it going. Who's next?
That's me. I guess it is rather embarrassing nowadays, but back when Devil Driver's first album came out, that was really what did it for me. The drumming from John Boaklin really inspired me to go down the musical route there.
It's not embarrassing.
Have you heard them recently?
I remember the first time Devil Driver, I heard of Devil Driver. It was when they came through in support of Opeth at the, it was Opeth and Devil Driver. Can you imagine that lineup? That's weird. Anyways, keep going.
I think for me, it was probably like the Stone Temple Pilots. Like I saw them play when I was like really young and knew that like, it would be so much fun to like front a band.
Right on. Okay. Well, here's one more fun question here for you. What is the first band t-shirt you ever purchased?
Oh gosh, I don't even know if I know that one. Yeah.
Mine again, was No Doubt. I got it from Target. No Doubt, Tragic Kingdom t-shirt when I was a little kid.
Green Day was mine.
Green Day. Okay. Nice. That's a good first little kid band shirt. I like it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what mine was.
I think mine was just a Nirvana shirt with like the smiley face.
Yeah.
As far back as I can remember, I want to say Disturbed is probably a Disturbed t-shirt. It's probably
the Sickness.
First one. Yeah.
You're like a little kid going, ooh, wah, ah, ah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I was just running around the school just making that exact sound. Sick.
First band shirt was at the first show that I ever went to, which was Devil Driver, Suffocation, and Goat Horror.
That's a sick first show. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Seeing Suffocation first thing, that must have been mind-blowing.
When I saw that show.
That's awesome. You kind of look like the bassist from Suffocation, actually.
I do?
Yeah, you do. So,
all right, okay.
I don't know what he looks like.
He looks like Nolan.
He looks like Nolan.
It's the long one.
Yeah.
And then I think we have one last person with the first band t-shirt. I can't see you in the frame, so.
Oh, yeah. He's right here.
Okay, cool.
It's probably the Stone Temple Pilots.
Okay, nice. First band t-shirts and the first band you loved. Right on. Makes sense. Cool. Right on. Well, you know, a lot of people listen to this podcast that might be, you know, just, you know, venturing into the world of trying to start a band. Do you guys have any advice at being a band that's put out two LPs now? Do you have any advice for kids that want to start their own band?
Play drums. They're impossible to find.
No, the great answer.
play drums and bass. Yeah. They don't exist.
Yeah. If you could do that, any band will want you.
Okay. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
have patience with other people.
Just start playing with friends. Like, you never know what you'll make together, and you'll really stumble upon something great every once in a while. Just force yourself into the right situations.
Nice. Well, just force of will, just like, yes, just will it. And, you know, just practice and write good songs, right?
Yeah.
Easier said than done. So you guys are going to be playing June 30th at Northwest Terror Fest. Until then, what's the best way to support you all?
I guess just like buy merch on Bandcamp. That's the first one that comes to mind. You know, buy things through Satanic Royalty. And Within the Mind, we have like some merch on Within the Mind, their label as well. So, and they're great people to support. So, I think we have like some tapes through them and some t-shirts and maybe some CDs. I can't really remember exactly everything that they have.
Right on. Well, we're going to go into the second song here. It's called The Shadows of Our Disillusionment. And this is from the new one, right?
Yeah, it's the first song off of it.
Awesome. Well, Leaving This World, Leaving It All Behind is available now. Any final words for the Northwest audience before we let you go?
I don't know. we're a band of many words.
I appreciate you guys taking time to chat about your new album. It's available now. Here's The Shadows of Our Disillusionment. It's Is Me here on Loud and Local State on Sessions.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.